Thank you, Nyla. Thank you so much. I'll go through the valley if you want me to. May we be able to say that when we're actually in the valley. Let's remember. Today's September 1st. Now for Ron and me, that's a special day. It was on September 1st, 2003, that I began my ministry here at Christ Community Church. And so it is a blessing to serve. It's a blessing to serve such a warm and loving and faithful church family. And I will be able to do that even better this morning if I have my remote control for the PowerPoint. But we do have a loving church family, and that's exactly what we are going to talk about, loving one another. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Thank you, Keith. It's page 863 for using the church Bible. This passage of Scripture is an entrance ramp onto our disciple-making highway. Our church is all about making disciples. As we love God with all we are, love one another as Christ has loved us, and love our neighbor as ourself. What motivates us to give our lives to these loves? Well, today, our progress through the Apostle John's first letter brings us to our motivation for loving one another as Christ has loved us. And so let's read 1 John 4, 7 through 21, the word of the Lord. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's God's word for us this morning. Let's pray as we prepare to exposit it. Lord, we thank you that you have loved us with such a sacrificial, merciful, gracious, everlasting love. And you call us to love one another in like manner. And so, Lord, command what you will, but give what you command. And to that end, we commit our time in your word together that we might experience your word in action through love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The other day I was in a hurry, a big hurry to get to church because I was late for an appointment. I was thinking of my person whom I was to see walking in the front door of the church, and there I would not be. I was late. I had to get there. And I pulled behind the car that was going really slow. And I'm late, and I'm in a hurry, and the driver in front of me is poking along. And so every time we came to an intersection, I shouted through my windshield, "Turn! Turn! Turn!" But instead, driving so slow, right in front of me, "I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. Turn, turn! No, no, next one, next one, turn, turn! No, no." Finally, the car turned right into our church parking lot. Well, love is patient, and I was not. And I had to repent of my impatience. How about you? Ever become irritated with a fellow believer over inconvenient happenings or interruptions? Ever been dismissive of a sister in Christ who's had a need that you could meet? Ever forgotten that in the family of God, the opposite of love is not hate, but neglect? Ever had an unmerciful attitude toward a brother in Christ suffering the consequence of his foolish choice? He made his bed, let him sleep in it. We remember that love does not enable harmful behavior, but we forget that love does have a merciful heart. And so, what can motivate us to be more like Christ in loving one another? Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." What can motivate us to do so? When we're irritated, when we don't feel like loving, when we're consumed with problems of our own valley, what can motivate us to be more like Christ in loving one another? According to 1 John chapter 4, it's the love of God. The love of God supplies our motivation for loving one another. Well, maybe the first question that comes to our mind is, love of God, does that mean God's love for us or our love for God? It can mean both. Let's explore, first of all, God's love for us. The love of God as God's love for us. Since God loves us, let's love one another. We see that in verses 7 and 8 of 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So God's love for us motivates us to love one another. God loves us because it's the very nature of God to love. And God's love for us is unconditional and faithful. God loves us because we're so lovable, right? God loves us because God is love. Not because we're so lovable, but because He is love. As the sun radiates the light because it's the nature of the sun to shine, so God is a source of love because it's the nature of God to love. He loves us because that's what He's all about. C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite authors, one of the great Christian thinkers of the 20th century, describes the night he first met the God who is love. Speaking of himself and his study at the university where he taught, he writes, "You must picture me alone in that room, night after night, feeling, whenever my mind lifted even a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I had greatly feared had at last come upon me." In 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. I did not then see what is now the most shining and obvious thing. The divine humility which will accept a convert even on such terms. The prodigal son at least walked home on his own feet. But who can duly adore that love which will open the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking, struggling, resentful, and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance of escape? The hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men. Because God is love, because it is in the very nature of God to love, he not only receives the prodigal who returns to him, he also pursues the prodigal who runs from him. The hound of heaven. Is there a prodigal in your family? Someone in your family who's running from God and putting as much distance between himself and herself and God as they possibly can? Be encouraged. Who can duly adore that love which will open the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking and struggling and resentful and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance of escape? God not only receives the prodigal who returns to him, God pursues the prodigal who runs from him. He is the hound of heaven. And he does that out of his love. His love for sinners. It's because he's love that he pursues the prodigal who runs from him. So is there a prodigal in your family? Be encouraged. The hound of heaven is nipping at that prodigal's heels. Because God is love. And God's love for us is the source of our love for one another. So let's then love one another from the fullness of God's love for us, for God is love. Let the nature of the God of love motivate us to love one another. Furthermore, let the manifestation of the love of God motivate us to love one another. In 1 John 4, the apostle gives us two manifestations of God's love. God manifests his love for us in a manger in Bethlehem and on a cross in Jerusalem. The manger in Bethlehem is verses 9 and 10 of 1 John 4. I'm switching just very briefly to the ESV. "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." the manger in Bethlehem. He sent his only son into the world. And that's God's love manifested among us. And now the cross in Jerusalem. If this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. We'll get to what that means in a minute. For our sins. And so love is a manger in Bethlehem. God sent his only son into the world, Bethlehem, so that we might live through him. That's the love of God made manifest among us. We were spiritually dead. We were dead people walking. We were spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. So God sent his only son, Jesus, to give us eternal life through faith in him. If you want to have life, true life, abundant life, eternal life, turn to Jesus. If you've never put your faith in Jesus, do it today. Exchange death and sin for life in Christ. For God's manifest his love for us by sending Christ so that, as John puts it, we might live through him. Furthermore, God manifests his love for us by sending Christ so that he could die for us. Love is a cross in Jerusalem. Not only a manger in Bethlehem, but a cross in Jerusalem. Verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, that's a $10,000 stained glass window word. What's propitiation? Propitiation is a sacrifice that bears God's wrath completely so that we who once were objects of God's wrath are now beneficiaries of God's favor. Wrath turned to favor. Wow. You see, God is love and God is holiness. And both are fully true of him. And God is loving in his holiness and he is holy in his love. And in his loving holiness, God has wrath against sin. And in his holy love, God has mercy upon sinners. And so at the cross, God's holiness enfolded his love. And God's mercy embraced his wrath. As Christ bore the hellish penalty for our sins in our place. As Christ bore the flames of hell on the cross, he muttered, "I thirst." As Christ bore the dereliction of hell on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For in wrath against our sin and in love for us sinners, God laid on Christ the iniquity of us all, so that in both justice and love, God might justify the ungodly by grace through faith. For God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the propitiation for our sins. And so the cross manifests God's loving holiness and God's holy love. For he is just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. At the cross, God's just wrath is against our sin is turned into his justifying favor toward us sinners. Just wrath turned to justifying favor for those who have faith in Jesus. To sum it all up, at the cross, the hardness of God is kinder than the softness of men. And So God sent his Son as a propitiation for our sins, thereby manifesting his love for us. That brings us down to verses 17 and 18. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. John is telling us this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that genuine gospel believers in Christ do not need to fear the day of judgment, for on that day there will be no punishment for God's children because God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins in our place. He bore the wrath of God in our place. He turns that wrath into favor toward us. We're forgiven because of Christ's propitiation. How can we describe such love? How can we grasp such love? Deliverance from judgment, wrath turned to favor, and loving holiness and holy love. What love is this? Afshin was born in Iran. He was a militant Muslim, trained by Hezbollah. And during a trip to Malaysia, he was arrested and jailed, which only fueled his passion for his religion. He taught Islam to the other prisoners. Every 10 days, he read the entire Quran from cover to cover. Every 10 days. Over time, he developed some extraordinary spiritual powers, but from the wrong spirit. Even had the ability to inflict curses on people. But one day, Afshin had a terrifying vision of Satan coming for him. Without knowing why, Afshin cried out, "Jesus, if you are true, show me yourself." Can you imagine that? He cried out, "Jesus, if you are true, show me yourself." And before he finished crying out, everything was back to normal. Afshin says, "But that was not my conversion. That was the beginning of my confusion." He kept asking himself, why would Jesus help a Muslim? For 2 weeks, Afshin fasted and prayed, asking God, "What is the way you want me to follow?" No answer came. Then, just when Afshin had decided to give up and go his own way, the presence of God filled his jail cell. And he was confronted with the holiness of God. And he had a crushing sense of guilt. And he was sure he was going to die. And over again, he cried out, "God, forgive me! God, forgive me! God, forgive me!" And it was just then that he felt a touch on his shoulder. And a voice said, "I forgive you." And Afshin says, "In that moment, I physically felt forgiven." Well, still, he was concerned and confused. Because the Quran says that no one can know that they are forgiven until they die. And with that in mind, he asked, "Who is this God who forgives now? Who are you?" And the voice replied, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Well, Afshin had no idea what those words meant, and so he said, "What is your name?" And the voice answered, "Isa al-Masih, Jesus the Messiah." 18 years have passed, Afshin says. 18 years have passed, but I still can't forget his love, his mercy. I am forgiven. Mercy, love, forgiveness, freedom from guilt. As John puts it in 1 John 4:17 and 18, freedom from the fear of judgment. The assurance of God's favor toward us, propitiation. All this and more is secured for us on the cross of love. Now, what should be our response to a love so deep? A love so high? A love so wide? Verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And so when you're driving behind a person on the way to church and that person is going really slow, remember that love is patient. When you become irritated with that brother in Christ who keeps burdening you with interruptions, remember, God sent his Son to bear the burden of your sins. Before we unlovingly simply dismiss that sister in Christ who has a need we can meet, let's remember that God loved us enough not to dismiss our need for redemption. And before we develop an unmerciful attitude toward that brother suffering the consequences of his own stupid choice, let's remember how God has shown us mercy that we did not deserve, grace that we did not deserve, love that we did not deserve, sending his only Son to bear the hellish consequence of our foolish choices. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And that's the motivation for love. Why love one another? We love because He first loved us. That's the love of God as God's love for us. Since God loves us, let's love one another, drawing the power to love from the source of love. You see, God is the power source of love because God is love. Tap into Him. Plug into God. Draw the power of love from the source of love, God Himself. Well, that's the love of God as God's love for us. What about the love of God as our love for God? Well, since we love God, let us love one another. Verses 20 and 21 of 1 John 4. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. In other words, we show our love for God, we demonstrate our love for God by loving one another. God manifests his love for us at Bethlehem and at the cross. We manifest our love for God by loving one another. So much so that if we do not love one another, we're not loving God. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Whoever loves the Father must love the Father's children too. When little Rosemary was about 3 years old, she was given a little rag doll, which quickly became her inseparable companion. She had other toys that were intrinsically far more valuable, but none other that she loved like that rag doll. Well, over time, the rag doll became more and more rag, and less doll. And it also became more and more dirty. Well, if you tried to clean the rag doll, it became more rag still. And if you didn't try to clean the rag doll, it became dirtier still. And so the sensible thing to do, Mom and Dad decided, was trash the rag doll. But that was really unfathomable to anyone who loved Rosemary. You see, if you loved Rosemary, you loved her rag doll too. It was part of the package. She loved her rag doll. If you loved her, well, then you loved her rag doll too. No trashing the rag doll after all. 1 John 4:21 says, whoever loves God must also love his brother. In other words, God says, you love me? Love my rag dolls. It's a package deal. No matter how ragged, no matter how dirty, we love God, we love the rag dolls that he loves. Package deal. So of that fellow believer who inconveniently interrupts you, of that sister whose need we can meet even though we don't feel like it, of that brother who's suffering the consequences of a foolish choice, God says of them all, love me, love my rag dolls. Package deal. So pray for them. Speak a kind word to them. Make a sacrifice for their benefit. Be slow to complain about them and quick to bear their burdens. Be less critical of them and more charitable toward them. Because our Heavenly Father says, love me, love my rag dolls. So, God's love for us and our love for God work together to motivate us to love one another, even when it's not easy to love. Christ says, visit my manger, then gaze upon my cross, and let my love for you move you to love one another. And our Heavenly Father says, love me. Love my rag dolls. It's a package deal. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you command us to love one another. And we confess our deficiency in doing so. And yet we thank you that your love is always faithful, never fading. So command what you will, but give what you command. The motivation and the ability to love one another as you've loved us. In Christ's name, amen.